Good afternoon. I am Bo Hendrickson for Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's happening in your area today. Governor Tony Evers deployed his veto pen on Friday. The Democratic governor vetoed 9 bills, including Republican-authored legislation that would have prevented taxpayers from footing the bill for health care of undocumented immigrants. Authors said the measure would have prevented those in the country unlawfully from receiving benefits through Wisconsin's Badger Care program. Evers, in his veto message, pointed out that one bill author had acknowledged the fact that undocumented immigrants already cannot enroll in Badger Care and criticized Republicans for passing legislation to prevent problems they admit do not exist and to try to push polarizing political rhetoric. Other vetoed bills dealt with a ban on local guaranteed income programs, tobacco bars, student teaching requirements, disputes with the Elections Commission, access to schools by military recruiters, building codes, emotional support animals, and data from the universities of Wisconsin. New leadership for the state's Economic Development Organization, Democratic Governor Tony Evers recently appointed John W. Miller as Secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. WisPolitics reports that Miller has donated more than $600,000 to Democrat and liberal campaigns and groups since 2013, according to the database maintained by the State Ethics Commission. That includes $26,500 to Evers' campaign between 2017 and 2021. Miller is a former UW regent who opposed a deal reached with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to freeze campus diversity, equity, and inclusion positions. Miller formerly served as president and CEO of Miller St. Nazina's Incorporated, his family's agricultural equipment manufacturing business in Manitowoc County. He succeeds Missy Hughes, who resigned from the WEDC post this fall to run for governor. Wisconsin doctors are highlighting common toy dangers parents should be aware of this holiday season. UW Health pediatrician Dr. Megan Yanni says choking or suffocation remains the biggest concerns, so keep an eye out for toys that have small parts. Yanni says toys that include artificial intelligence are also becoming more and more popular. Yanni suggests testing out the toy before giving it to your child to make sure the content it produces is acceptable. About 3 billion toys and games are sold in the United States every year. A new grant program could reduce crime and violence in Wisconsin communities. The initiative, announced by Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention and Support Initiatives and Programs at school districts, law enforcement agencies, domestic violent organizations, firearms retailers, and local governments. Grant applicants can seek funding for efforts focused on suicide prevention and firearm storage, violence intervention and outreach, criminal justice initiatives, domestic violence prevention, and school-based initiatives. $10 million in federal funding will go toward the grants. There's a new, more environmentally friendly option for firefighters who need to put out dangerous fires. It's a new firefighting foam made out of soybeans and can be used to smother fires and that can't be put out by water. Fox 11 Green Bay reports several Northeast Wisconsin fire departments have been testing the foam, which does not contain PFAS or other forever chemicals. That's believed to be one of the primary sources of contamination in Wisconsin. State lawmakers are pushing for a rapid rollout of soy foam, with the state Senate approving a bill that would offer grants and training to fire departments looking to switch to the option. Following the closure of the Early Learning Center in Plaine by the River Valley School District, District Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner announced the sale of the building on WRCO's Morning Show with Phil Nee.
A business in the Plaine area wanted to purchase that building from us, and that's been really exciting. It actually was the Sauk Prairie Healthcare Association and Hospital. So our elementary in Plaine will be turned into the Plaine Clinic, and it will become a hub of the community. So Sauk Prairie Healthcare bought the Plaine Elementary. And so we were there last week for a ribbon cutting, kind of a handing off of things. And it's really a great transition of a building. You want your buildings to remain alive. You want your community to remain alive. And this is a great opportunity for Sauk Prairie Healthcare that needed to maybe expand a little bit, and their building was really small, to look at an affordable way to remodel an elementary school, frankly. And so it's really exciting. We have always had little kids in there. At one time, it was an elementary, and then it became the early learning center. But it's really been about learning and about growth and about doing your very best. And now Sauk Prairie Healthcare can go and really get people in there, and they can think about learning and healthcare and doing their very best. It's really handing off a torch of getting better at something. Instead of getting better at academics, you're getting better at your health.
Glassbrenner says that it's exciting that the legacy of the building is that it continues to help the community.
It's a great thing for Plain. It's a great thing for the River Valley area. It's a great thing regionally to have a hub that will have great opportunities. When you think of an elementary school, it's got a gymnasium, so they can do some more OTPT activities in there for healthcare. It's got a great kitchen. Maybe we can have some diabetic seminars on how to cook healthfully and do great things, and that can be through healthcare. Some of those classrooms can be split up and put into things that are like small doctor visit places. Larger classrooms can be places for yoga or Pilates or weight rooms. So it's really going to offer that community and our region another use of a great space.
A ribbon cutting was held last week. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 7.6 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.56 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 27.7 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 14.9 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Bunny price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.33 a gallon, with the most expensive at $3.29 a gallon, a difference of 96 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 5 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.90 a gallon. The national average is down 17.6 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 7.3 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to GasBuddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 5.1 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.67 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said gas prices continued to decline in most states last week. While some price cycling states saw temporary spikes to restore margins, he added, with the national average falling further, we're now at multi-year lows headed into Christmas. Diesel prices are also easing, and in the cheapest cities, average have dipped into the low $2 range, with a few stations still offering gas under $2 per gallon. Barring any major disruptions, prices are likely to stay relatively low into the new year. A Cinnabon worker in Wisconsin has been fired after a racist outburst directed at two customers went viral. A video showing part of the incident was posted on TikTok and shows the employee cursing and taunting at the customers from behind the counter. The TikTok user who posted the video said the incident happened while she and her husband were taking a break from shopping Friday at a mall in the suburb of Green Bay. The Georgia-based cinnamon roll chain said in a social media post Saturday that the worker was immediately terminated by the franchise owner over the disturbing video. Try to have a list of trusted professionals on hand before you need to make an emergency call for service. Lisa Schiller with Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin says simply picking the first name that pops up in a web search is a good way to get fleeced. Schiller likens it to picking the first business listed in the Yellow Pages when those were still around. A good list to have is a locksmith, a plumber, and a computer repair tech. Pet owners should also ask around for a good veterinarian. One of Wisconsin's largest banks is acquiring more locations. Associated Bank announced today it will be merging with Omaha-based American National. Associated CEO Andy Hammering said the move will strengthen the company's reach in Minnesota, Nebraska, and Iowa. The merger will cost over $600 million and bring Associated's total branches to over 200. The two companies are hoping to close the deal by next spring if the merger is approved by federal agencies. The trial for the judge starts in 1 week. Jury selection begins this week. Milwaukee Judge Hannah Duggan will stand trial starting December 15th on charges she helped an undocumented immigrant avoid arrest by ICE agents outside her courtroom. The case focuses on what happened in the courthouse hallway in April when federal agents tried to arrest Eduardo Flores Ruiz. Jury selection starts Thursday with potential jurors coming from 12 surrounding counties. Video footage showing the encounter will likely be key evidence. The trial is expected to last about a week. Judge Duggan denies the allegations. A Manitowoc County drug seizure might be Wisconsin's largest ever. Authorities there say a coordinated drug trafficking investigation led to the seizure of 43.2 pounds of fentanyl with an estimated street value of around $5.8 million intended for distribution in northeast Wisconsin. Back in January, three men from Arizona were identified as transporting the fentanyl disguised as prescription medication. They were arrested during a traffic stop and booked into the Manitowoc County Jail. Two of the men involved have been convicted, with one sentenced to 10 years in prison last month. The third man is still awaiting a court date. Online purchases and package delivery skyrocket during the holiday season. Naturally, scammers use this opportunity to trick business or busy shoppers into giving out their personal information. Here's what you should know about a new twist on delivery scams. You receive a text message from what appears to be a delivery driver looking for your home. If the message seems a little strange to you, trust your gut. It's a scam. It's important to note that consumers will never receive unsolicited messages from USPS or other delivery services unless you have provided your contact information. You have access to free tools that provide shipping and delivery notifications, but you have to opt in to receive them. Information contained in these scam messages would never be provided without the consumer first registering online and initiating a request. To avoid delivery scams, keep track of your deliveries. Scammers hope you'll just assume they are talking about a package you ordered recently without double checking. It will be much harder for them to fool you if you know what packages you're expecting, from what companies, and when. No delivery company policies. Delivery companies will never contact you with unsolicited calls or texts. Depending on how you signed up for notifications, messages usually are posted within a secure online portal. Be leery of unsolicited messages, especially if you never signed up for text alerts. Never give sensitive information to strangers. If an unsolicited caller asks you for personal information, even if they claim to represent a company you trust, hang up and call the company using the official customer service number. Calling the company yourself is the best way to determine if the inquiry is legitimate or a scam. For more information, visit the Better Business Bureau's online shopping HQ for more tips on shopping safely online. UW-Madison tops the Big Ten in blood donation. The school earned $1 million in the Big Ten We Give Blood Drive competition. The challenge, sponsored by healthcare company Abbott, called on schools in the conference to address the nationwide blood shortage by collecting the most blood donations. The 15,000-plus donations collected by the UW and its supporters came out ahead of Nebraska and Michigan, which came in second and third, respectively. The money earned from the win will fund UW student and community health initiatives. Bauer Gunhill Dalton VFW Post 2267 will be holding its Christmas fundraiser for local veterans and Toma VA veterans on Wednesday in the Richland County Bank lobby. The annual event has been held for many years. Marge Freeman, a past commander, three-year trustee for VFW Post 2267, is an organizer of the fundraiser.
We've been doing it, the VFW Post 2267 Richland Center, Bauer Gunnell Dalton VFW Post 2267. It's going on 67 years. Originally, it started after the Korean War ended. And for those who remember, Bill and Lois Duer were some of the focal individuals that were involved in it. It was strictly for the Toma VA veterans. But however, since 2017, we have also done a huge focus on our local veterans at our local homes, Pine Valley, Schmidt Woodland Hills, Our House, and Harvest Guest. So our focus is number one for the local veterans, and then for other items, we distribute up to the Toma VA. And of course, all those items that are collected every year, and it's always the second Wednesday in December at the Richland County Bank lobby.
There are various items suggested to donate for the veterans.
Just a reminder to the public and all those donating, all items that are donated absolutely have to be new, never used. That could be personal care items, clothing, sweets, candies, bars, cookies. But clothing is always an interesting item.
Other suggested items include warm stocking caps, mittens and gloves, forever stamps, calendars, a glue gun with extra glue sticks, deck of cards, toiletries, AAA and AA batteries, and diabetic ankle socks. Monetary donations are also accepted. All donations can be dropped off at the Richland County Bank lobby on Wednesday between 9 and 2. If you're unable to drop off any donations that day and need to make arrangements to get them to VFW Post 2267, or if you have any other questions, call 647-4884. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds bear and turkey hunters that applications for the 2026 black bear and spring turkey hunting seasons are due by Wednesday. Hunters can apply for harvest authorizations or purchase preference points toward future drawings or edit an existing application through Go Wild or an authorized license agent up until the deadline. The drawing for 2026 black bear harvest authorizations will occur in February. Applicants selected in the drawing will be notified by email or postcard, depending on their notification preferences selected in the application process, and may purchase their 2026 Class A bear license beginning in March. Applicants may also check their status online through their Go Wild customer account in mid-February. This year, over 32,000 people applied for one of the 13,110 bear licenses available. Nearly 114,000 more people opted to purchase a preference point to improve their chances of drawing a license in a future lottery. With over 146,000 people applying for a license or purchasing a preference point, this year represents a new record high for bear hunting applications. Turkey harvest authorizations are issued through a preference-based drawing system. The spring harvest authorization drawing will take place later this month. Successful applicants will be notified by email or postcard, depending on their notification preferences selected in the application process, after the drawing results are finalized. Applicants may check their status online through their Go Wild customer account. All turkey hunters must possess a valid spring turkey license and a wild turkey stamp when they acquire their spring turkey harvest authorization. A 2026 spring turkey license is $15 for Wisconsin residents and $65 for non-residents. The 2026 wild turkey stamp is $5.25. Stuck staring at your gift list? Experience-based gifts are a thoughtful way to create lasting memories, and Better Business Bureau has tips to help you shop smart and give with confidence this holiday season. Meaningful gifts don't have to come in a box. With concerns that product prices will rise this season due to tariffs, consumers may be looking for different gift options. Gifting experiences can be an excellent way for your recipient to create memories that last longer than material goods. These gifts are often surprises and a great way to save money. Give the gift of a local adventure. Think about where your gift recipient lives. Do an online search for some fun activities or locations in the area. Consider looking at theaters, concert venues, or sporting venues, and purchasing tickets to an upcoming event or show. You can even top off the gift with an additional surprise dinner reservation and a gift card to the restaurant. Learning can be fun too. Many cities have restaurants that offer cooking classes and wine tastings, or unique small businesses that provide art workshops and do-it-yourself type classes. If your gift recipient is a crafty, hands-on person, this gift will surely be a hit. Family gifts for the year ahead are also a great idea. If you're shopping for a family with children, consider looking at memberships at local zoos, museums, nature centers, or aquariums. These memberships can last a few months or up to a full year, meaning your gift can keep giving well past the holiday season. Wrap up wellness and relaxation. Spa gift cards, yoga passes, a fitness class pass, or a subscription to a meditation app are all great options for someone who loves to relax and rejuvenate. For the charitable one, if you have someone in your life who is passionate about giving back to the community, consider making a donation to their favorite nonprofit or setting up a volunteer day for an upcoming event that supports a favorite cause. The Better Business Bureau has tips for how to shop smart for these experiences. Check reviews before buying. If you're buying an experience for someone in the area you're not familiar with, doing your research is key. Look up customer reviews on various websites, including BBB.org. With experience-type gifts, customer reviews can give you a good idea of whether the experience is worth gifting. Plan ahead for any holiday-related experiences. If you're gifting a holiday-related experience, like a holiday show or an outdoor lights experience, buy your tickets in advance so they don't sell out. This is also a great time to consider making your experience gift a group event where the whole family can join in. Purchase directly from the source, not a third-party vendor. Check restrictions and expiration dates. If you're buying a gift card, voucher, or certificate for an experience, communicate any restrictions or expiration dates to your recipient so they know when and how to use the gift. Oftentimes, the recipient will schedule their experience on the date of their choice, so it'll be important that they know how to do this. Read refund and cancellation policies. If the event is postponed or canceled, get the details on what happens next so you can notify your recipient. If this happens, consider gifting a different experience with the refunded money. Watch for hidden fees. Booking cost or service charges can add up. If you want to save money on gifting an experience, look for options that don't include extra fees. And use a credit card for better protection. Credit cards usually offer protection against scams and fake websites when purchasing online. Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, along with Wisconsin Aging and Disability Resource Center, presents a free quarterly support and education series about brain health and living well with mild cognitive impairment. Pam Kohlberg is a dementia care specialist.
It's phenomenal that we live in Wisconsin because as a dementia care specialist, that program only exists in Wisconsin through the Aging and Disability Resource Centers. But one thing that they do at this research center with Nate Chin and other famous doctors is that they do these presentations, Healthy Living with Mild Cognitive Impairment. And what that means is dementia medically is called major cognitive impairment, but people can have a form that's like more memory issues than normal aging, but it's not a form of dementia, or it can turn into it, but maybe not. So this MCI is something you're going to hear more and more about, which is mild cognitive impairment. And so how do you kind of go about your life? And so what they're going to be talking about that day, it's Friday, December 12th from 9:30 to 11:30. There's this webinar and it happens quarterly. We're going to do it in March and June and September and December next year. But this December, Friday the 12th, it's partnering with your healthcare team.
The educational series, including the upcoming program, is educational and gives participants a chance to get involved in the discussion.
I also love this webinar because they interact. You can ask questions. You can listen to other people. What I like is this healthy living with mild cognitive impairment. It kind of gives ideas that are good for any of us, brain health ideas, you know, how to use your brain better. But as the person who coordinated this said, how often do you get access to sort of, you know, internationally known doctors who are doing the research on the front end and be able to hear from them directly? And that's the thing is because it's all coming through the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center that's at UW-Madison. And that research center is known around the world as one of being the top places for the cutting edge with it. So here's your chance to hear directly from those researchers.
Partnering with your healthcare team, guest presenters will be geriatrician Nathaniel Chin, speech-language pathologist Carrie Esser, and occupational therapist Sarah Gunderson. They'll share how healthcare professionals work together to provide comprehensive care for people living with MCI and their support networks. The program will end with a Q&A session. It'll be held Friday, December 12th from 9:30 to 11:30. The program is free and open to all. If you wish to register to attend in person at Crossing Rivers Health in Prairie du Chien or wish to join the program through Zoom, you can contact Pam Kohlberg by phone at 548-3954. You can also email her at pkulberg@junocountywi.gov. Today's Ithaca Music Boosters calendar raffle winner is Steve Young with ticket 377.